unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
The amount of people I see talking about socialism positively is actually staggering.
Do you think, do you really think that a proletarian revolution is just around the corner in America?
And your hero, Obama.
He's not my hero. I'm a communist, you idiot. If Bernie Sanders were president, right, and he wanted to bring the same ideas as socialism into this country, do you think that we would benefit?
Yeah.
But I just told you Venezuela is eating rats.
But I just want people to have health care, honey. I don't want, like...
All right. Welcome to episode 8 of the Sensible Socialist Podcast. In this episode, it's going to be pretty quick and dirty. It's just me this week, and I'm going to talk about something that has been touched on in a few different episodes, but I don't know, just kind of want to lay it out a little bit in terms of the way that I think about it and what we should really do about it. But I thought one thing that would be kind of interesting to do would be to just kind of tell you what I think is some interesting articles and things like that that might be worth looking at. So honestly, the Jacobin magazine, jacobinmag.com, has an interesting interview with Cynthia Nixon and another good interview with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I think that is, you know, a good article. That's obviously something that people are talking about a lot. On the Socialist Worker newspaper, that's the International Socialist Organization, they have an interesting article by Nancy Welsh called The Importance of Being Uncivil. And it talks about, you know, some of the more aggressive actions, I guess some people would say, about restaurant confrontations and things like that. I think that it's an interesting take. I'm not sure exactly, honestly, how I feel about that all the time. I get some of the points that she's making. I do understand the certain role of civility, but I also understand a role for uncivility or incivility. So it's worth checking out. It'll be put in the description below. On the Socialist Alternative website, there's a really good article about the $15 an hour. It's been 1 year since it's passed, and there's lessons for the sister city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and gives good background into what's going on in a particular place in the country that's got a lot of action happening. So it's well worth checking out. On the People's World, the Communist Party's newspaper, there's an interesting article about a new executive order from the Trump administration that essentially allows federal workers to be subject to quite a bit more, I would say, abuse by their bosses. And one of the ways that Obama had done what he, you know, I think what he thought he could in terms of labor rights was through executive actions for federal workers, hoping that that would then translate. Trump seems to have taken that message and is doing the same thing. So the last article that I think is worth looking at, it's 10 days old, but it's an article from Socialist Alternatives paper about, or from the website rather, about how DSA has really grown. And DSA, I even saw Bhaskar Shankar on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter, saying, you know, that DSA is almost at 50,000 people. And so that's quite a lot of people. And with the victory of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many more people sort of calling themselves democratic socialists or seeming to get, you know, affinity with the ideas that they think that word defines, there's a call for, you know, I guess one of the sections is towards a new socialist party. And, you know, it just says, Socialist Alternative urges DSA to take advantage of its rapid growth and dynamism to use this potential to launch a new, broad, democratic socialist party. In our view, there is an opening to bring together the best forces on the left and, more importantly, a new generation that is actively looking to fight for socialism. With a bold lead from DSA, a new party of 50,000 to 100,000 members could be rapidly built. Of course, without further steps toward political clarification of key strategic issues, such as a formation, would have an unstable character. Nevertheless, this would represent a qualitative step forward for a social movement. And so I'll link that as well. But I think that's actually absolutely 100% correct. That DSA has obviously become a force that people know. There's talk about, you know, what DSA is doing, even in, you know, the area that I'm in, the DC area. DSA is involved in a lot of different things, and in some ways plays a leading role, and is definitely, you know, a place where rapid growth is obviously having an impact on the organization, positively and negatively. You know, it's not all roses, but it's actually a pretty good thing. And so, but it seems to me, and this is something that I talked about both with Algier in episode 7 and Josh in episode 4, about the need for a coming together of different socialist groups. Right now, you know, I think if you look at the landscape of the different socialist groups, you've got the Socialist Workers Party, the Socialist Alternative, Socialist Action, the Communist Party of the USA, the Socialist Party USA, Socialist Labor Party, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the Socialist Alternative, who am I missing? The Party for Socialism and Liberation. You have a good dozen to maybe like 15 different organizations. You do have PACA, Pan-African Communist, I think is what PACA stands for. It sounds terrible, but so there are a lot of, there are a number of different organizations, and there's a reason why there's an organization. Some of the reasons we did discuss with Josh about the tendency for groups to split on certain issues, and I can understand completely why there has been this tendency to split on issues that we think are make or break or are incredibly important. You know, it seems strange, but even now there's still talk about, you know, Lenin Stalin or Trotsky. You know, there's a lot of things that are able to put a wedge between different parts of the left. And it was also a great tactic that the COINTELPRO program used, to be able to basically handicap the socialist movement, and you know, can split it up, because if you split the organizations up, they're much, much easier to keep control of. And so it's a tactic that works, that makes sense, and isn't surprising that it's been perpetuated. So I've, in my own experience, I've been a member of a lot of these different organizations, from Socialist Workers Party, Socialist Alternative, the, you know, Youth for Socialist Action, the Communist Party. I've worked with all of these different groups, and there is, you know, so much that they share in common, and a certain few things that they disagree on. And again, I'm not saying that those disagreements aren't important or have something genuine, you know, to add to a conversation amongst ourselves. But in terms of it being a handicap for us to not be able to get together and work together on core issues that we can build a base of power with, the divisions no longer make sense. So the inspiration that I have for the sort of way I'm thinking is Lenin, partially in like what is to be done, but just in the way that you're talking about organizing different people, different organizations and people with different approaches. Now, I think Lenin, for some understandable reasons, and I think some quite zealous reasons, was also someone who could drive wedges between people. But he also had visions for what would be able to be done that are effective. Something like a single spokesperson. So in What Is to Be Done, he talks about, you know, the all-Russian political newspaper. But the and we need to take the inspiration and not say a newspaper, but a sort of media platform that we can communicate to all of the different people that we want to communicate to in a way that is accessible and digestible, and but also gives our message out. And the only way that we're going to be able to have some kind of consolidated media system that's going to be able to communicate to people in the way that they get information nowadays is to have our own kind of consolidation. And so something like the essay article says that, you know, DSA is obviously leading this, but there is a strong tradition of a lot of different other parties. And I think you won't want to lose those, but what you do want to do is be able to allow a space where all of the people can come together, discuss honestly and openly, make connections with each other, see each other face to face, and work on the same issues that we all agree need the kind of solution that we can offer. And so to that end, what we absolutely need in the United States of America is a Congress where we can all get together and set out a platform. And so now I had high hopes for the People's Congress of Resistance. It was a great idea of, you know, founding a sort of, you know, new Congress. And I think that, you know, if it's an idea that somehow it was going to create a dual power kind of situation, obviously I think that would be it would just be idealistic. And I don't think that was genuinely the intent. It was a good way to get people together, but it really didn't result in a new party or anything like that emerging. I mean, I think it was a grand example of how you can get a lot of people together and talk about important issues, come up with a manifesto that is very easy for people to understand. And I think the People's Congress of Resistance manifesto is pretty decent. I think it's well worth looking at. And I want to make sure that there's a link for it below. But it wasn't the founding of a party. And it didn't have the kind of even boring legislative aspects of coming up with a platform and really making something that could compete. And DSA has had a number of wins in the political arena. And Socialist Alternative has had a win and a lot of influence in the political arena. And so there are already things that we can do to genuinely make ourselves a legislatively successful party. And when you're looking at the different socialist parties or different parties of the left nowadays, when they are ever able to really do anything, it's only when they come together. And even if it's the radical left organization, and there's a lot of things that aren't fun about something like Syriza, which really does just mean coalition of the radical left, which is exactly what I'm proposing we create in the United States. But if you look at Podemos and other organizations, now, yes, they've had failures, they've had successes, but they've shown that the only way that you're even going to be able to try to succeed in the political arena is to come together and fight in every way that you can, from absolutely legal means of running candidates and doing that kind of on-the-ground work to more active campaigns of confrontational resistance. And so I think that you can only have the power that those other examples represent if you're able to come together. And the United States has a lot of people, a lot of very well committed and organized and dedicated and intelligent people on the left who could really organize the rest of the left to be able to fight for even the modest gains that the kind of social democrats that, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think, is, and even Bernie is, that you can win those gains while organizing a new party that isn't the Democratic Party, that is a people's party, a worker party, a party of the 99% in the language of Occupy. And so that's what's necessary in order for there to be any success, as far as I can honestly see. And so what has to be, and what I am going to try to honestly do, is create an organization that sole goal is to make this Congress happen. Lenin, one of the first organizations that Lenin, I think, founded or was part of, I can't remember, was called the League for the Emancipation of the Working Class. And I want to sort of announce or say that this sort of organization for the League of the Emancipation of the Working Class is going to be one that is going to call on all of the different organizations in the United States, all the radical left organizations from Black Lives Matter to, you know, the Communist Party, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the radical left. If you're on the radical left, we will have a convention where we will found a party, establish a platform, and make a competitive institution with the two big business parties. And I think that you'd see, you know, as long as the platform actually makes sense and it doesn't get bogged down in a lot of different difficulties about the sort of makeup of it, or if it doesn't get caught in outcome equity kinds of questions, this new party can really be a force to be reckoned with. And something that, you know, a third of Congress comes up for vote pretty often. And so there is a genuine way that you can have a wave that is able to really hone the discontent that may and did definitely fuel a lot of votes for Trump, but also the excitement and interest for Bernie and other candidates who are definitely the most sort of progressive that we've seen in quite a while. And so this organization is going to be reaching out to all of the different organizations, the highest people that we could possibly talk to, and genuinely start a conversation about who is interested and who isn't interested, and if you aren't interested, why you aren't interested. Because this seems to me to be something that a lot of people want, but are not actually, don't actually think is possible. We need to communicate to all of our comrades and friends that coming together is possible. And when we come together, amazing things are also possible. And so it's high time that we recognize differences, recognize that there are issues to be worked out, but put them aside for the moment to found something new that we can all rally behind, feel a part of, and commit ourselves to. The Democratic Socialists of America are a good start and a good example of what it could be, but it needs the knowledge and education and organizational ability and institutional knowledge that organizations like the CP, like Socialist Alternative, like the Socialist Workers Party have and are able to give to a new generation of people who aren't getting that institutional knowledge anywhere else. And that DSA's institutional knowledge is different, and it's okay, but it needs to be augmented by the institutional knowledge of all of the left. And so the founding of a Syriza for the United States, a coalition of the radical left, is absolutely necessary. It should happen as early as possible before the next crisis happens, because when the next crisis happens, if we are not prepared with an organization that is able to unite us all in a united front, then we are not going to be able to fight the consequences of Trump and the rise of white nationalism to straight fascism. And so if we don't get together and we don't really organize together, this situation is not good. And so this is not pie in the sky. This is not idealism. This isn't something that we'd really like to happen, but, you know, we don't really think it's going to. No, it has to happen, and it needs to be sooner rather than later, because unless we get this organization together, we don't have a hope to be able to fight the right, who is very well organized, very well funded, and is able to do a lot more with a lot less people. We need to find an organization to get as many people as possible geared up and ready to fight for the goals that we all want to achieve. The temporary goals of things like Medicare for all, higher wages, redistribution of wealth through, you know, tax incentives and things like that that was tried in places like Seattle. But then for the larger goal of really organizing democratic workplaces and being able to find methods to be able to transfer the means of production from these individuals who aren't working at them to the workers who actually produce the products. So check out in the future. I'm still making the plans on this and contacting people that I think would also be interested. If you are hearing this and you would be interested, please contact the Sensible Socialist podcast at sensiblesocialistpodcast@gmail.com. Check out sensiblesocialist.com. You're obviously here, so check that out. And please let me know if you're interested. That we, the only way that we're going to be able to build this is build it together, and that's what we need to do. So let's use this as the opportunity to connect to each other, find out what we can do, and let's make the League for the Emancipation of the Working Class be able to organize the All-American Congress of the Radical Left for the founding of a coalition of the Radical Left Party in the United States. All right, so that's it for me. Again, short episode, just 20 minutes, no big deal. Check out those news articles. They'll be embedded in the descriptions below. And check out, in the very near future, the League for the Emancipation of the Working Class going to organize the Coalition for the Radical Left. I just want to say that the Sensible Socialist does have a Patreon page. If you go to Patreon and search for Sensible Socialist, you will find us. On Twitter, it's Sensible Social One. That's where you'll find the Sensible Socialist Twitter page. There's a Facebook page, Facebook Sensible Socialist. And the other thing that I want to mention, though, is that if you want to do the Patreon, that's cool. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. I'm going to make episodes no matter what. But I have an organization that you really should contribute to, which is the IWOC, the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, who needs to do jail support. So if you check out incarceratedworkers.org/donate, or you can check them out on Facebook, and they do have a Patreon too. So check those out. Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, League for the Emancipation of the Working Class, Coalition for the Radical Left. We're going to do it. It's the only way we're going to win. So let's do it. Got to get some good guests, hopefully, in the next little bit. So that's why this episode is short. Working on getting some people, a Marxist-Leninist and anarchist and a few other different people. So check it out. A lot of good things coming up. Stay tuned and see you next time. In the early morning. She called me, I hit ignore, 'cause I don't